What would an exceptional father do? Well, here are a few pointers as I see it. An exceptional father would train up the child. Train up the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call on him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments that are in all this law which I set before you today? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep it yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Deuteronomy 4:7-9. Now the person who wrote the verse in Proverbs was Solomon, who had so many wives and children that he couldn't possibly spend quality time with all of them. His son gave some good advice to Rehoboam, his son, and most of the Proverbs were probably written to him about being a good father. But when his son, Rehoboam, got to be king, he listened to bad advice from his friends instead, resulting in the division of the kingdom. You can't always judge parenthood by the results. We are fortunate that our two girls are following the faith, because we're certainly no better parents than you, and we've only had girls, so I'm not qualified to speak to families with boys. I've known several parents who trained their children well, and yet have had one or more of them fall away. Sometimes there's been traumas in the children's lives that they blame on God. Sometimes children have been badly treated by Christians at church or at school, and this is a tragedy. We need to treat other children well as our own. We need to treat other parents' children well. Children are important to Jesus and need to be treated as such. Sometimes children go away from home and hear other voices, to university, and listen to other advice, like Rehoboam did. God himself only gave Adam and Eve one rule, and they broke it. So you can't totally judge parenthood by the results. When we train our children, we need to focus on the process, not the results. Devotion, prayer times, discussions. Keep them away from bad influences as much as possible. We wouldn't let our children watch Simpsons because it taught children to have poor attitudes towards parents and portrays the father as a doofus. So we didn't let them watch that show. One day the social studies teacher at Prairie wanted the kids to watch episodes of Friends and Simpsons and discuss them. And my daughter and Jennifer Bart said, we're not allowed to watch that show at home. And so they got sent to the library. Sometimes we did let them watch shows, but we were present and discussed the points of view in them. For example, we would watch Star Trek and discuss issues that were brought up, like euthanasia and other things like that. And we would discuss the Christian point of view and what the show was saying. And when we train our kids, we need to love them no matter what. My second point in being an exceptional father is to take interest. One of my favorite times with my father, we went up Sanka Creek in BC and we went fishing. When I was 12 years old, we walked like 5 miles up and fished our way back down. My dad didn't think I'd make it, but he was hesitant to try, but I'd gone fishing with my uncle on a shorter trek on another creek and really enjoyed it. My father on the way up talked to me about the trapper's cabin my great-grandfather had up there, and it was just a wonderful time together. My dad also coached my softball team. I was a bad kid. When I was in grade 6, I switched to soccer, and Dad couldn't coach soccer. But he came to my games, and he watched me play in the city finals of football at 40 below zero. My dad probably didn't get me because he was good with his hands and I wasn't. He tried to teach me to change oil one day and I just couldn't get it. I was into English and math, but he did support me in the things he did, the things I did, and he came to all my award ceremonies and stuff like that. He took interest in me. The third point in being a great father is maintenance. Keep them safe and healthy and discipline them. No discipline seems pleasant but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Hebrews 12:11. Now, discipline wasn't the greatest thing for us. I was too easy. Just forgive them, show them grace. Helga was too hard. I'm going to ground you for life. My mom was the same way, promising to tan my hide, which was probably more extreme than a few swats with the wooden spoon. We often need to find some sort of middle ground. Don't threaten to do something you can't actually do, like ground them for life, but warn them about something doable and follow through on it. My children reacted to discipline differently from each other. My first, Hilda, you just had to look at her and she'd like melt. We thought she was disobedient a little bit when she was younger because we'd tell her to do three things and she'd only do one. Later on, we found out she had a learning disability and couldn't do lists. So we had to tell her, do this, come back, do this, come back, do this, come back. And she could handle that. Now she works at a Christian camp. Great. Deborah. Spankings. Over with quickly. She didn't mind them. Time out, no problem. She could amuse herself. We had trouble with her lying, cheating, and stealing in late elementary school. Found a stash of cookies under the bed she bought with money from her mom's purse. She skipped all her music lessons. We didn't find this out till her second last lesson. She cheated on her spelling tests at school. So finally, we grounded her, not for a lifetime, but for 3 months. And since it involved money, she had to earn her allowance back 5 cents a month for good behavior. At the same time, I sat her down and spoke hope into her. I told her, and this is no joke, I told her, God has a wonderful plan for you because the enemy's trying so hard to get to you early in life. When she started junior high, she got serious about God and changed her behavior. She said to us, I'm going to a new school. I'm going to do it differently. Now she's a pastor's wife. God is serious about disciplining children. Eli did not discipline his children, and God took his life away because of it. He also doesn't want us to overdo it. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. The next way to be an exceptional father is to set an example. Like Jehoash. In the second year of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old, and when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoaddan, and she was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father David had done. In everything, he followed the example of his father Joash. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. 2 Kings 14:1-4. Jehoash followed both the good and the bad examples set out by his father. Our children also follow our examples, both good and bad. One day I was sitting in the living room doing my devotions, and my daughter Hilda comes out and sits in a chair opposite me with her little book. I said, "What are you doing, Hilda?" And she says, "I'm doing my devotions, Daddy." Good example. Yay, number one dad. Kids repeat what we say. One day I said something about one of my neighbors and their parenting abilities. Deborah went and told their children, who told their parents. I had to go to her father and apologize. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him, Colossians 3:17. We've got to remember to set a good example for our kids and watch what we say. The first letters of training, interest, maintenance, and example spell out the word time. A good father puts in the time. This is what David and Solomon could not do. Too many wives. Solomon, 1,000 wives and cucumber vines. Again, children present. Too many children. Too much to do. They couldn't put in the time. But you fathers are not like that. You only have one wife. You may have several children, but you're intentional about giving each one your time and attention. And unlike David and Abraham, you don't play favorites, do you? From what I've observed of the men in this church, you are kind and loving, and you're doing the best you can to train your children in the way they should go, to take an interest in what they're doing and who they are, to discipline them in love and to set a good example for them. I'll say it again, you fathers are awesome. I hope you fathers have an outstanding day, and you children who have fathers will make it so. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I do thank you for speaking into the lives of the men in this church. And I thank you that so many of them are such good fathers. And I pray that you will encourage them and let them know it and help them to feel good about what they're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.